the gospel for this, the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, comes to us from the gospel of Luke, the sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. The great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from Jesus and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, grace to you in peace. Please be seated. Thank you, Brenda, for what you shared. That piece you read, I wouldn't mind that. I don't do Facebook, I do Twitter. Yeah, so we'll talk later. I quite appreciate that. Whenever I come to a place for the first time to preach, there's just two decisions I have to make. In a sermon, one can either challenge or comfort, sometimes do both. And should the sermon be short, medium, or long in length? I pick short because I may invite you back, and it's cool, I pick well. So anyways, comfort, I hope. Anyway, it's a matter at hand. I don't expect you to know the name of a person by the name of Ellen Linz, but she is a writer who occasionally does a feature piece in the Globe and Mail. After this past summer, I saved this little, I cut things out all the time. Saturday morning, I go to a local shop in Stratford and read the Globe and Mail cover to cover with my wife. Anyways, I cut this piece out. And she wrote of the time of that summer when her family and her went on a long vacation. And they came home to find their mailbox stuffed with no less than 100 pieces of mail, and this in the age of email, of course. So they thought they would have some fun, and she probably had an idea in her head what to write, these kind of little features that people do. And they dumped all the mail on her kitchen table. They began sorting. Over 100 pieces of mail, only 5 items of a personal nature. The rest were bills, junk mail, flyers, and the like. Some letters appeared to be personal, but they were only computer invitations. I think the deepest blow for her, as she wrote, came when one letter was addressed to their dog, Happy. Happy's vaccination was due. That sounds helpful. Anyways, sometimes we get the feeling in today's technological world of Facebook, Twitter, or whatever, that we are somehow unimportant. People are wired in more than any time in our world. And sometimes we feel more and more alone. Sometimes we do get the feeling that we are just another consumer listed in somebody's database. We are just another number. I am computer number 6690 at the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. Good deal. You are, meaning your congregation, is computer number 5770. I looked it up, I'm allowed to do that. You actually never even know. Must be the treasure. Anyways. Of course, all of us, well, usually it's just already there. We have to know our SIN number because what are we going into? Tax time. I was going to tell you mine, but I better not. I might mix up. So, we think, sometimes, yes, we're all alone, just another number. By the way, it's nice being so close today. I had more time this morning, so I read the Canon of Luther we just got. Mail, we got that, and there's a nice piece on loneliness there. Now, I think today's gospel contains an important message for us from Luke. It's this. In spite of all the messages to the contrary that the world is sending us, we are important. You are important. I'm important. We are important enough to have Jesus address us specifically in his most famous sermon. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. We know that best. Today's reading from Luke, a little bit different, but more or less the same. It is known as the Sermon on the Plain. Don't worry about that. But the reason I think Jesus addresses us specifically, one of the reasons, is to reassure us that we are important. We matter to God. We are made in God's image. We are destined to live with God forever. And quite frankly, if that doesn't make us feel important, I don't know what does. But the reason the Sermon on the Mount of the Plain is so significant, especially to us in this 21st century, is precisely because it sends us a message so different from the one the world sometimes sends us. Sometimes we are told that we feel that we are a box of tissue. Disposable. Sometimes the world tells us that we are like an old paper cup, recyclable. Sometimes the world tells us that we are like a spare part, expendable. Have any of you ever lost your job? And after a while, we begin to believe what the world tells us. There's an old indigenous legend, I think it so fits so beautifully with Jesus' point in the sermon that it deserves to be repeated over and over. It's about a native child who found an eagle's egg. He placed it in a nest of chicken eggs. Remember, this is a story, not a farm. And before long, the eaglet hatched with a bunch of chicks. The eaglet grew up with chickens. It scratched in the earth, the dirt, the way for seeds, the way the chickens do. It cackled the way the chickens did, that's how it was taught. It thrashed its wings. Flew just a few feet off the ground, the way chickens did. And one day the eaglet looked up into the clear blue sky. And there it saw the most beautiful sight. Magnificent bird soaring majestically through the sky on two big golden wings. The little eagle's breath taken away. Excitedly, it called out to an older chicken, "What kind of bird is that?" "Well, that's an eagle," said the older chicken. "But forget about it. You could never soar like that in a million years." Friends, it is the same disheartening message that the world sometimes gives us today. It tells us to forget about Jesus, forget about his teachings. He is the Son of God. His world was totally different from our world. You could never be like him. Could never soar the way he did, not in a million years. But Jesus gives us a totally different message. It's what keeps me Christian. Sometimes I think about that. Sometimes I wonder why I'm still Lutheran, but I am. But I'm also Christian. That's the most important. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the words that I do, and will do greater ones than these." St. Paul had these words of Jesus in mind when he wrote to the Christians in Corinth, not what we heard today, but just before that. We heard this a week or two ago, where he wrote, "God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong, and God chose the lonely and despised of the world to reduce to nothing those who are something." And this brings me right back, us right back, to today's gospel reading. The hundreds of poor people sitting, whether they were sitting on the plain or a slope of a mountain, whom the world considered disposable, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." To the hundreds of hungry people sitting on the slope of the mountain whom the world considered recyclable, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied." And that doesn't, I think, just mean hunger for food, but hunger for meaning. To the hundreds of soaring people sitting on the slope of the mountain, who the world considered expendable, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are weeping, for you will laugh." And so to those whom the world says, "Too bad you are poor, too bad you are disposable, too bad you are hungry, you are recyclable, too bad you are weeping, you are expendable," Jesus says, "Rejoice. The kingdom of God is yours." There's a South American poet by the name of Amado Nervo. He wrote a poem in English. He's a Christian. It contrasts the message of the world with the message of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. It reads, "The world told me that I was only a spark, but Jesus taught me that I am a fire. The world told me that I was only a string, but Jesus taught me that I am a lyre. The world told me that I was only an anthill, but Jesus taught me that I am a mountain. The world told me I was only a drop, but Jesus taught me that I am a fountain. The world told me that I was only a feather, but Jesus taught me that I am a wing. The world told me I was only a beggar, but Jesus taught me that I am a king." My sisters and brothers in Christ, you matter to God. I suspect you know that. Heart, head, head, heart. But sometimes we forget that. And we need to know that we matter to God. Never forget that. When you think no one cares, you matter to God. When you feel alone, you matter to God. When you are afraid, you matter to God. When you are grieving, deep grieving, you matter to God. Never forget that. One thing to remember today. More, but just one for sure. You matter to God. In the name of the God who loves us all.